The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Welcome to our Refuge series. It's one of the things that we do here at IMC every 2 or 3 years, and brings me a lot of joy to do to lead the Refuge series and so forth. I thought we'd start with a sitting, sit quietly, collect ourselves. But before we do, as kind of a preface to the series, in Zen Buddhism, they have a teaching, they say that there are two ways of teaching. There's the granting way and the withholding way. And the withholding way is when the teacher doesn't give the student anything to hold on to. And in fact, the student just takes everything away. All their beliefs, all their sense of self, all their attachments. And the student wants something from the teacher or from the practice. Just everything's taken away. Just everything's taken away. And the student's left with nothing to hold on to. And if you do that really well, you'll become free. And the other way is the granting way. And that's the way that's supportive. It's, oh, you're great. Keep at it. You're doing good. Here, you know, you can do this, you know, let me give you some teachings, let me give you some whatever. And the granting way. And sometimes teachers use the withholding way, and sometimes they use the granting way. Some teachers specialize in one way over the other. Some teachers will, 1 week will treat the student with the granting way, the next week the withholding way. And the student is completely confused when least expecting it. The Refuge series of this class is in the spirit of the granting way. That's the spirit of it. And the spirit coming from me is one of appreciation for you and for your practice and for the value that you find in the practice you do. And the part of the granting, in a sense, is the appreciation, the celebration, the joy, the acknowledgement of something that is hopefully meaningful, very meaningful for you, that you found for yourself. And with evoking that granting way, let us all sit a little bit. Some questions for contemplation. You can hear the question and let it drop inside of you and see what bubbles up. It doesn't require thinking in the ordinary way. You can quietly repeat the question and see if it resonates with something. And the first question, can you remember the first time or a first time that Buddhism, Buddhist practice, Buddhist teaching had a real personal meaning for you? Not just simply intellectual, aha, that makes sense, but somehow deeper than that intellect. Oh, this has meaning for me. You might have a slightly different way of wording the question if you prefer. But can you remember the first time that Buddhism had a personal meaning for you? And if there wasn't a pivotal moment or time, perhaps it was just a period of time. A certain period, a particular year or month or situation. And you can remember what that felt like for you. What it felt like in your body, your mind, your heart, to feel that personal connection. And the other question, when you heard about or read about this refuge class, or when you first learned about the idea of refuge, what was that inner motivation, wish, spark, feeling that made you interested in doing this? What was that inner sense? That said, oh yeah, that's something for me perhaps, something I want to look into. What was it, what is it inside of you that responded with interest in this class? So again, good evening and welcome to our refuge series. There's a long tradition in Buddhism of people going for refuge. It began within days after the Buddha's enlightenment. People encountered him and were somehow moved by him that they declared that they were going for refuge in the Buddha. And his and the Dharma. And because it happened kind of, you know, almost immediately, the assumption is that this was a custom that preceded the Buddha. It was a custom of ancient India, for people to go for refuge with spiritual teachers. And the assumption has been that actually before that, it maybe has its origins in the kind of refuge or protection that people sought from the local lord or the local baron or the local village chieftain or something, that you were kind of under his protection. So you went for refuge there, you went for protection there. But the Buddha is not, spiritual teachers are not people you go necessarily for protection from this physical war and things like that. You know, the local next town over is not going to, protect you from next town. But there's something much more personal and perhaps inward and perhaps in shorthand spiritual that we're connected to and that we take refuge in, we find our protection in, we find our inspiration in, we find meaning in. So it's an ancient tradition that Buddhists have done. And in this series, we'll explore this. We're going to meet for 4 weeks and talk about refuge, talk about the refuge in the Buddha, in the Dharma, and the Sangha. And as part of this, especially near the last week or two, we'll also have some discussion about the precepts that are very central to the whole refuge ceremony. Then the fifth week, those of you who would like can come and participate in a refuge ceremony that we'll do here. And sometimes when I've done this in the past, there are people who just do the 4 weeks and don't come for the ceremony. They for a variety of different reasons. They realize they're not interested. They realize that, or some people feel like they're not ready. And so they say, well, not, so sometimes the people have waited till the next time to do it. And some people have, for whatever reason, not done the ceremony, but they've come to the ceremony and kind of been a witness to it. So there's a variety of ways, but it's really up to you, and it's for your decision how you want to do it. And it's good to come to the whole series. If you ain't going to miss something here, hopefully it's recorded every day, and then we'll put it up on Audio Dharma, and you can listen to it that way. But it's particularly important that you come to the fourth week, because on the fourth week, I will pass out a sheet of paper to get your name. And without me knowing your name on the piece of paper, it doesn't matter. If I know your name in my head, the paper has to have your name. You can't really do the ceremony because I need to know that beforehand. You need to come to that fourth week or talk to me beforehand or something. So on the on kind of surface appearances, the idea of going for refuge might suggest a certain kind of maybe passive relationship to life, like you're going to be protected by the great mother or parent that's out there, and somehow there's something out there that's going to take care of you, and so you're just going to sit back and be protected. And that is not the traditional way of understanding refuge. A refuge means there is a protection that comes from the refuge, and that protection is considered very important. It's not a few people who feel their lives have been saved through the Dharma, or through this practice, or through the refuges. And I count myself as one of those. Without the Dharma, I mean, would not be a pretty picture. And so I'm very grateful for this, and certainly protected me in my life, and protected me from a lot of difficulties that were just around the corner. So it does provide protection, but it is an idea that we're kind of going in some place and retreating from the world, retreating, into some place where we can be safe. Refuge is primarily, it's taking refuge in an understanding and in a direction that our life can go. And so the going for refuge acknowledges for some people a very profound meaning, value, direction, purpose that they would like their life to have, or that their life does have. In this big, confusing world that we live in, it's helpful to have an orientation and to know where you want to put your energy, where you want to put your attention, where you want to put your actions, your behavior. You know, what's going to orient all that? What's going to help you shape your decisions? If you don't make those decisions, if you don't have values or some goal or some sense of purpose that provides that, it's very easy to have Madison Avenue decide for you, or our popular culture, because there's tremendous influences that want to influence what we do and how we behave. And some of it is conscious. Madison Avenue is conscious, the advertising industry. And some of it isn't so conscious. It's just kind of built into our culture that, peer pressure and all that. And last week, I was told not to apologize for my examples. So I'll try not to. Unapologetically, I'll say that it was last week, my 10-year-old son goes to plays Little League. And as I was leaving my house, it was kind of sunny day. I grabbed this kind of, I don't know what it's called, but it's kind of, some of you have seen my kind of like a Panama hat or something. Is that what it's called? Is that what I have? It's called Panama hat? You've seen it? Anyway, brim all the way around. And it's not exactly the baseball cap. And as I left my house, I said, all the other guys are going to wear baseball caps. I wonder if I should put on a baseball cap. And, so I fit in with the guys at the field. It's a little hard to fit in. For me. Anyway, so that thought passed my mind, but I just let it go and went with my old hat. But, the point being how easy it is for our culture around us to kind of influence us and influence the directions and choices and, what we want to do. So refuge has a lot to do with a direction or a value around which we're going to orient our life. And I like, as we do this refuge class, to think of this as not that you're going to come here and discover the value and purpose that Buddhism has, and then maybe you'll go along with it, or maybe you already feel like you want to be a Buddhist and you're going to find out now the key, what it means to be a Buddhist, and I'm going to tell you and make you a Buddhist. That's not what I'm interested in. And in fact, I believe that it's possible to go for refuge in Buddha, Dharma, Sangha and still not consider yourself a Buddhist. That's, however, it's quite common as a custom in Buddhism to have going for refuge in a formal way as being what kind of marks a person as a Buddhist. But that's really up to you. You get to decide. It's not like we have, it's not like this, mystical ceremony you go through and now it's done and you're it. It's, the value of the ceremony is yours. And so what I like to think of this series and this class is that hopefully the refuges resonate with something inside of yourself, something, some experience, some understanding, something that you found to be personally meaningful and valuable. And you've discovered something, and that somehow is recognized in these things we call refuge in Buddha, Dharma, Sangha. That you, almost like you, rather than seeing something outside of yourself when you look at the Buddha, the Buddha is a mirror where you recognize something you know inside of yourself. And what that might be is, can be quite wide-ranging among such a big group as this. And I know for myself that over the years that I've been doing practice, what it means to go for refuge, what it's resonated inside of me, has changed over time. So it might change for you as well over time. And so in that spirit, the granting way, as I said earlier on, I really will see this as a way of acknowledging something that you already have. Now, if you're not sure if you have something, that's okay. Maybe you'll discover something in the course of this, and that would be nice. I think there's something very powerful that happens in the psyche, in the heart, When we name and acknowledge what's there, that even if we kind of have a sense it's there, there's kind of a maybe a clear knowing or a vague knowing about something that's something important that's here. When it's clearly acknowledged, clearly named, clearly stated, it actually gives it more life. It gives it more value. It kind of strengthens it and develops it. And refuge has a lot to do with intentionality, the intention with which we want to live our life. It's a certain kind of engagement with life, not a retreating from life. And engaging in life with a certain kind of intentionality. And to have that aspiration or intentionality, and to name it, acknowledge it, celebrate it, can make it much more powerful, much more meaningful, much more something that comes alive and becomes a touchstone, becomes a stronger reference point, something becomes a strength that you have available to you, especially in times when life is difficult. Maybe that's the time when you need the refuges the most. That's the time you need to be reminded about another way of doing things, another perspective for what's really important, that it's easy to get lost in the middle of some big drama, big crisis that goes on in our life, big tragedy goes on in our life. So that acknowledgement, I believe, is going to be very, very powerful and helpful. So that's kind of the spirit of this kind of class. And on the fourth day as well, not only do you have to give me your name, so I know it, because I have to write it down someplace to give you, mostly to give something back to you. But you also need to come because you'll get instructions of what happens in the ceremony. Because you need to have some instructions to know how to come the final day for the ceremony. So, and it's the, you know, in terms of IMC, it's the most ceremonial we'll get here. So we'll do it well in our style. So, I think that's enough for me for now as kind of a background introduction to this. And in the spirit that I really wanted to acknowledge something in you and have that come out, one of the things we'll do each day as we meet is we're also going to break into small groups or into pairs of people. So you have a chance to speak what's inside of you, give voice to what's inside of you, whether it's something that's valuable, your values in relationship to all this, your sense of purpose, or what the personal meaning is of some of these things we're exploring. And part of the importance of speaking it is similar to the ritual acknowledgement, is that it makes something come alive. And also there's a way of speaking that hopefully, because it's a kind of self-exploration to speak about it. And if you don't speak about it, sometimes you just keep it in yourself. It doesn't get developed as much or as fully. And also when you hear someone else speak, it can spark ideas and something in a very different way than if you sit in a room full of 40 people listening to one speaker. Something different happens when you're kind of much more engaged one-on-one or in a small group. So that'll be part of the process as well. And some of it will be a discussion with me, I'll talk more, and we'll find our way as we do this. And hopefully we'll deepen our connection of these next 4 weeks with the Buddha, the Dharma, the Sangha, and the fourth refuge, which I'll talk about later, what the fourth refuge is. So what I'd like to ask you to do is, and anytime we do these kind of exercises, if you don't like to do these exercises, don't want to do them, I would like to ask you to do it anyway. Stretch yourself. Because inevitably there are people, it's almost every time, there's plenty of people who say, oh no. And then when it's over, they say, oh, that was great. So I ask you to stretch yourself. But if you really don't want to, it's fine. But only after you've really kind of tried internally to stretch yourself. But if you see, you tried that internal stretch, and then you said, well, you know, not today. You can just sit quietly. That's fine with me. And just do it on your own. But my request is you stretch. Okay? at the Granting Way. So what I'd like you to ask you to do is to find a partner that you're going to talk to. And then I'd like you to do is choose who's going to start. And then have basically about a five-minute monologue where basically you speak for 5 minutes about what was the spark, or the curiosity or the interest that brought you here or made you kind of interested in this idea of refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, and the Sangha. What was that? And if you can find something that's, to speak about, what is it that it resonates inside of you? What meaning, what value, what experience do you have inside that this whole idea of refuge somehow speaks to? 5 minutes kind of monologue can seem like a long time. The advantage of this kind of having it feel like a long time is that hopefully after a couple of minutes, you've said all the obvious things. And then your mind gets to kind of open up or stretch or consider or contemplate, and maybe you'll find yourself saying something new or coming to a new understanding about this, something you didn't have before. The purpose of the exercise is not to tell your partner something. The purpose is for you to explore it for yourself out loud with someone witnessing you. And that's an important point, because if you find yourself telling something to your partner, like a story or something, and you've told that story many times before, you know the end really well, you don't need to maybe say it so much. You can get to the point quicker. You're not trying to explain something to someone else. You're trying to do this exploration out loud yourself. Does that make sense? Well enough? So maybe this might be a new idea. And the question that you're going to talk about, is that clear enough? Anybody need more clarification? And what to do, choose a partner, find a partner, and then decide who's going to start. And then after about 5 minutes, I'll ring a bell. We'll take a few seconds to be quiet and kind of regroup. And then the other one can have it for 5 minutes. Okay? So you turn to someone near you and... So, the next step of this process of exploration is for the two of you there is to turn to another couple and make a group of four. And then just go around your circle and see if you can, whatever way that works for you, appropriate for you, whatever, state something about what this refuge means for you, what the significance is at this particular juncture, with the understanding you have as of now. For some of you, this whole idea of refuge might be new to you, relatively new. It's okay. Just whatever comes to mind now is what we're looking for. And then over these weeks, perhaps it'll develop for you. So don't think it has to be a finished understanding. See if you can just share that. So it's your sentence or two. We don't want a long thing at this point. So if you could please join another couple. You can sit where you are, no need to change. But again, close your eyes a little bit. Breathe, connect to yourself. So hopefully your coming here today indicates that you found some value or meaning, significance in Buddhist practice, in the values and teachings, in what opens up inside of you as you practice. It's a variety of things that it might be that this is touching. And when you consider your deepest intention around this practice, around Buddhism, your deepest value or significance that you've touched yourself in regard to it, how would you personally like it to be acknowledged? If you could have it acknowledged in any way at all, how would you like to have that acknowledged? So, for example, it could be as simple as sharing it with a friend who hears it, recognizes it, sharing it with a teacher, journaling about it, going for a walk on the beach and just reflecting on it, doing a ceremony. What would be a personal way for you to acknowledge that this side of you? So now, quietly, and without talking, because I don't want any talking, if I could, if it'd be nice, but if you guys could take your groups and join another group and sit in a bigger circle of eight, or there might be one extra group, so there might be three, it might be that three groups will join together. So for this, what I'd like you to do is someone start and go around the circle. And when you start, introduce yourself, your name, and maybe, if you'd like, where you're from. And then in something that's closer to half a sentence than a whole sentence, because some of the one or two sentences from the last group are really long sentences. In like half a sentence, if you're comfortable, state to the group what, at least as of today, what would be a personally meaningful way for you to acknowledge your deepest intention or value or meaning, that we're talking about here today. And so other people can hear a little bit, and it might be nice to hear the different options and different things that people like to see have that happen. And then when your group finishes, it's actually very helpful if your group can actually be quiet, because then I'll know when everyone's finished, and then we can go on from there. So, please, you can start. Okay, so you can thank your group and we can come together the way you were before. So thank you. And if we had more time, it would have been very nice to have continued this process of opening up the groups until finally we would have been one big circle. And I hope at least by the end of the 4 weeks that we have some sense of a group as a circle, as a whole. And so we're doing it kind of in community, not just as individuals, as all this. We're almost at 9 o'clock. I'm going to continue until 9:05. So hopefully it's okay with you, and you'll know that it's not going to go on and on. In Theravada Buddhism, there's an understanding that there's two dimensions to going for refuge. Sometimes it's called an internal dimension and an external dimension. Sometimes it's called customary dimension, and then the other dimension would be that which is transcending, the transcending or transformative dimension. And kind of the external or the customary has to do with like the refuge in the Buddha is refuge in the historical Buddha. Refuge in this person, not just in the person himself, but in the person in his awakening. This is a person who became awakened. This is a person who became free. To do the internal or the transcending or transformative dimension of this is to recognize that his awakening is something that is a potential in us. So it's not something out there we take refuge in, but it's more we're taking refuge in the possibility of awakening itself. The Dharma externally is the teachings of this person. Internally, it's the path of practice that we follow, that we find in ourselves. And Sangha, the external Sangha, would be the community of people that have witnessed and experienced and validated in some way the experience of awakening or the teachings of the Buddha. Internally, it would be our connection to more than that our awakening, our freedom, our inner life is connected to a wider world of people whom we share it with as well. So you might want to consider a little bit these two dimensions. Sometimes the internal dimension, the external dimension or the customary dimension is sometimes put down. Because it has a lot of external forms, you know, bowing to the Buddha, making offerings to the Buddha, for example, or it's kind of like looking for something outside of oneself. And now what's really important is to find it in yourself, and looking outside of yourself, that's not really spiritual, really, right? There could be that kind of attitude. I would like to suggest they're both actually quite profound. And so there's something very profound about recognizing the Buddha, Dharma, and the Sangha in an external way or the customary way. Because it involves a radical change in what we put our value in, where we find our significance or our purpose or our meaning or direction for our lives, and it's quite something to have someone, you know, change away from the direction that's going to be characterized by greed, hate, and delusion. And the internal one is very significant as well, and that we don't have to say too much right now. But I always want to say that both are important and both can be meaningful. It doesn't have to be one or the other. They can both be meaningful simultaneously. And what I'd like to suggest is for this next week that you, during the week before we meet next time, that you give some reflection to what the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha means for you in some personally meaningful way. Now, don't read a book and say, well, that's what it's supposed to mean. But rather, you could read some books. Might be a good time to find some of your Buddhist books and see what the books say about refuge, see what they might say about Buddha, Dharma, and the Sangha. But see if you can make a connection to these things that's more personal. That somehow, and one of the ways to do this is in the course of the week, is maybe go for a walk with a friend. and ask if you can just kind of share with them, explore with them, tell them a little bit, your exploration, your considerations, what's going on in your mind about what is the personal significance these have for you, whether it's external or internal or the customary way or some way that's more transformative for you. And then we'll come back next week and we'll continue exploring this. And next week I'll talk to you about the fourth refuge. The mysterious fourth refuge. So I'm very appreciative and gratified in many ways that so many people have come to me that, you know, I don't know all the reasons why you're here. It's whatever reason you're here, it's fine with me. That someone would be interested in this dimension of practice, this dimension of their own life, is moving for me. And I hope that as we go through these weeks that we can share this, perhaps what we call a more intimate aspect of our practice life together. So thank you very much, and see you next week.